When Mozart sits down to paint, he just paints. I don't think the first time Mozart sat down to paint, he thought he was going to be an incredible painter.
Boy, music.
What?
Mozart's music.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, music.
11:36 on a Thursday morning here with The Invasion. Donovan Lewis, Matt McLaren. We'll kick off your lunchtime here in 15 minutes. Jerry Jones. He really just does not care. And we've got proof. It's 15 minutes from right now. But we do this on Thursdays, a little boy music, our weekly music segment. It's very rare that I bring much to the table musically. Much like other things in life, I'm quite the failure here. But with boy music, I recently, as we all know, love to read. And being the book bitch that I am, I recently read a memoir from one of the members of one of my all-time favorite bands, and that is Blink 182. And Mark Hoppus, who is their longtime bass player, wrote a memoir that came out earlier this year, and I finally got around to reading it, and I enjoyed it so much I read it the entire thing in 2 days. Just could not put it down. And it's really interesting. He talks about his childhood and how he grew up, and Blink 182, for those that don't know, is a punk rock band, might call it pop punk at this point, that emerged out of the SoCal scene, San Diego area in the early 90s and mid 90s. And if you're my age and you didn't go down the, I guess, rap R&B path, you might have gone down this other path. And so Green Day got really big when they released their album Dookie in 94. And it wasn't long after that that Blink 182 came around. And so to read his memoir and talk about how they started, it's kind of a trip to be like just a dude who wanted to learn how to play bass, and he liked how bass fit music and how he felt like it tied songs together, and he just wrote like some silly songs and didn't think anything of it. So Blink 182 now, as most people know them, is three members of Mark Hoppus, Tom DeLonge, and Travis Barker, the drummer, who might be the most famous out of all three of them because he married a Kardashian and did a reality show and all that type of thing. Well, originally, Mark and Tom met, and Mark is the oldest member. He's over 50 now, and they just kind of hit it off. And their original drummer was a kid named Scott Rayner, who was the drummer on their first two albums. But then once they really hit it big, they got into some problems with him. And so this book kind of takes you through all that. If you're a Blink fan, I thought it was really, really interesting to see the origins of how they came with some of the songs that they chose, the way that we were talking about this the other day. They wanted to stay true to the scene. And so they were touring around these small little San Diego venues, and then people started to show up and like them. But then a big label comes around. Oh, do you want to go sign with the big label? And, oh, you sold out. You can't do this. So I'm going to read from my book here a little bit.
Okay.
It's an on-air reading. So one of the things that I think I found very interesting, because I heard so many things about the origin of the name Blink 182 over the years. And so apparently the reason why they're called Blink 182, the band was originally named Blink, all in lowercase. And they named it that because they liked, one, they liked the way it looked. And Mark talks about in his book that he and Tom both thought that to describe their music is like Blink. Like, it's so fast, it's quick, it's punchy. Like, that's, it just made sense to them. So they were Blink for a long time. Well, then apparently somebody out of Ireland also was named Blink and sued them once they signed with a label named Cargo Records, which is what their first two albums came out under. And so the label came to them and said, look, you either decide the new name right now on this phone call, or we're going to choose one for you. He said that they considered Blink Jr., Blink UK, and just rechanging how you spell Blink and spelling it B-L-E-E-N-K. But the record label shot that down because they thought it would confuse everybody. They considered going back to their original name, Duct Tape. So Mark Hoppus says, I was frustrated and irritated. We were no closer to a solution. I threw up my hands and said, fine, what about Blink? I don't know, 182. And the response from the head of our label was, sure, and that was it. We became Blink 182.
Dang.
Out of pure frustration. So as they go through the book and to see, because if you know Blink 182 at all, the way that they originally sounded from where they are now, and they still do all the jokes and the silly F-word songs and all those sexual jokes that they do and everything like that. But I thought, because I don't know how well you know Blink at all, so I thought that I would play some of their music for people that may not know them at all and kind of the evolution of where they were, because I thought it was really interesting how they came up with this. So the song that originally kind of made them where I think we've got something here, it's the first song, the night that Tom and Mark Hoppus met, he was introduced to Tom by a buddy who took him over to Tom's house, and he was like, oh, hey, do you play music? He's like, yeah, man, I play guitar. He's like, yeah, me too. He's like, dude, what do you play? And so they started playing for each other. And Mark says in his book here that they listen to the same kind of stuff. And he goes, well, let me show you something I've got. So he says, I played him my bass line, and he just kind of nodded on his guitar. Then his face lit up, and he said, wait, this might fit with something I've been working on. So he put his lightning-fast guitar riff over my bass line, and we looked at each other like, holy S, this is something. And so I'll play this. This is off their debut album called Cheshire Cat, and the name of this song is the first song that anybody ever knew from them, and it's called Carousel. Kind of goes music for a minute, but we'll get to the... Like, the first, like, minute and stuff is just them jamming, basically.
It's kind of hard to do the stanky leg for this one.
Yeah, but they play really fast. And yeah. This is how they play. About to get the lyrics. And he's got this, like, high nasally voice, Tom does. So you get that. And his voice early on is really nasally and high, and you kind of feel it. You can hear as he ages, and we'll play a couple. So I thought that was really interesting because he said, we put that song together in 3 minutes. It was fast and sloppy, but we called it Carousel. We went outside. I sat on the cul-de-sac afterward and smoked a celebratory cigarette and knew that I had something. And so sure enough, they do. And then they end up signing with the label, and they start touring around, like I said, like local San Diego. And so this next one is a song. This is when I didn't know Blink when they did Cheshire Cat, but I found out about them in 1995 when they put up a song called Damn It. And it was off of their second album called Dude Ranch. And it was a song that he wrote on a guitar that had only three strings. He says, I shared it with Tom and our drummer, Scott. They loved it. We put the whole thing together in just a few minutes. No second guessing, no overthinking. It was one of those sorts of songs that just happened. We played it at our next show. People went nuts, and we started to use it as our closer.
I'm familiar with this, yeah.
All right, so we'll stop it before the cuss words come in, but
okay.
Yes.
Oh, why?
So,
why?
Damn It was the first song that I heard from them back when I was in high school. It's like, okay, what is this? Because I liked Green Day and Dookie was really cool. And you started to see, like, okay, it's fast, it's fun. And then they went a few years and they signed with the major label. They'd been touring around. And I think they had a falling out with their drummer, Scott. And he talks about this in the book, and I thought this was really interesting. Like, what happens when a band reaches a point with the member, you don't play to our level and we're having problems? And so their drummer, Scott Rayner, they wanted something who was more frenetic on drums. And he started drinking a lot and had a drinking problem. They told him, look, if you don't stop drinking, you're out of the band. And he got all irritated at him, so they kicked him out. And Travis Barker was playing for another band, and they went to Travis like, hey, dude, we love how you play. Do you want to join us? He's like, yeah, I'll join you guys. So Travis comes with them, and he talks about this in the book. He goes, we made a phone call to Scott. We talked about him, and he goes, then you guys do what you have to do. And I don't know why this just was strange to hear somebody say this, because he's writing this now as a 50-year-old man. I never spoke to Scott again. Like, literally, that's the last time that they've ever had a conversation. So Travis comes along, and this completely changed the sound of Blink. It, like, the drums become more of a focal point, I think, of what their music was. And I'm sure everybody remembers 1999 when Enema of the State came out. American Pie also came out that summer. And the creators of American Pie asked Blink if they would do a song for the movie. So they created a song and used it for the movie. That launched them into another stratosphere. And everybody remembers, like, Adam's Song came out off of that album. But the one that got me on this was this one, and everybody's going to remember this one. What's My Age Again?
I took her out. It was a Friday night. I woke alone to get the feeling right. We started making out, and she took off my pants. But then I turned on the TV, and that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 20.
So you kind of get that, and I think a lot of people, if you know the music, you know them, and they made a video for that about running from adulthood. They hired this, they had this label that threw a bunch of money at them, and so the whole concept of the video was them running naked through the streets and sidewalks of Los Angeles. And so they did that, and they filmed them and blurted it out, and it became, that was back when TRL was on MTV, and they said that really launched them, and everybody started to like their music, and I loved that album, and I was interning. Remember The Edge that used to be a radio station?
Yeah, absolutely.
I interned on their morning show the summer of 99, and Blink came through to play at Edge Fest, and I actually got to spend about 15 minutes hanging out with Travis, Tom, and Mark. And I'll never forget that because Mark and Tom were super nice. Travis was on a different planet, felt like, but that was one of those experiences when you...
Kind of off to himself?
Just kind of... I thought at the time he was just very high.
Gotcha.
I don't know if he was or not, but that's how it was. So I'll play a couple other ones real quickly because as they evolved and kind of go through the thing, and I thought this was interesting because Take Off My Pants and Jacket, their next album came out in 2001 when I was in college. Loved that album, and probably my favorite song on there is called The Rock Show. And I found out by reading this book that they put together an entire album of music, took it to the label, and they wanted to be a little bit edgier and darker in their music. And the label's like, well, you don't have a hit on this. And so Tom and Mark got so pissed off at the label that they went home. Tom went home and wrote a song called First Date and said, fine, you want a poppy crap song? Here it is. Well, Mark went home and wrote The Rock Show. If it'll play. And this is a song about his wife. So you get the idea with that, and I thought it was really interesting to hear them say that we each were so irritated, we went home, wrote these songs, and said, here's your poppy little whatever song, and those are the two biggest hits off
and
the album.
And it worked. That's what they wanted.
And it turned
amazing.
It into hits. And so they went through a lot. Tom and Mark had a falling out. Tom left the band for years, started his own thing called Angels and Airwaves, which I liked a lot. Mark started Plus 44 with Travis. And then Mark Hoppus got lymphoma. And had really bad lymphoma and thought he was going to die. And he said that when that happened and Tom DeLonge found out, they hadn't spoken, and I think it was 7 years. And Blink, they were using a different guitar player. Blink was still around, but Tom was done with the band. And he said that Tom, when he found out, called him every single day during his chemo, and they realized, what are we doing? Why did we let this happen? And so now their last album called One More Time, Tom rejoined the band and they put it out a couple of years ago. And this is kind of an acoustic, I guess, pretty song.
I couldn't see the meaning. I couldn't even recognize my friends.
But a totally different sound. And granted, their whole album doesn't sound like this.
Older, but nothing's any different. Right now feels the same, I wonder why.
And they're talking about all the things they've learned.
I wish they told us
It shouldn't take a sickness or airplanes falling out the sky.
Which is because Travis Barker survived a plane crash.
Do I have to die to hear you miss me? Do I have to die to hear you say goodbye?
So there you go, like the journey of Blink, and you can tell their voices are much more mature in that high whiny type sound on their very first track from the early 90s. Again, if you're a Blink-182 fan, I thought that the memoir was a really insightful. He's very open and honest about a lot of things that happened with the band and their skyrocket to stardom and how all that falls out and all that happened and kind of taking the musical journey with them. I've really been listening to Blink a lot more the last week or so since I finished the book. So there you go.
Very good. Boy Music every single Thursday at 11:30.